Now, some of you who read your emails faithfully will have seen the announcement that I'll be out of the office for a couple of days this week because I'm going to be engaged in interviews of candidates for ministry in the United Church of Canada. It's quite a job, actually, to help folks reflect on and test their call. Someone might feel strongly that they are destined to be a minister, but it's our job to get to know them and over the course of 3 or 4 years, either confirm or deny that they have the character and the gifts to be ministers in the church. Now, I don't like to take time away from my work here at Gilmore Park, but each of us are called to use the skills and abilities we've been given to serve God both locally and beyond. So, this is one contribution I can make to the wider church with my experience and skills. After all, it's the same process that helped me discern my call, about 30 years ago. And I can tell you that I will be learning things as I go in these interviews. I know I'll be inspired by the diverse and passionate candidates that we interview, which will come back and inspire my work here in Richmond with all of you. God has given each of us various gifts and abilities. Some are called to use those gifts and service in particular roles in the church. And I know that many of you are tireless, active church members. And we are also called to use those gifts in God's service in our homes, at work, and in our community and beyond. God has given all of us, in fact, a job outside the confines of these walls, these comfortable pews. And frankly, that's really where the real work is. They are gifts of friendship and caring, like I talked about in the story of my brother Mark. Perhaps gifts of letter writing or baking and cooking, gifts of integrity and justice in the workplace, gifts of joy and laughter, gifts of leadership and volunteered time, gifts of business and finance, gifts of teaching, gifts of healing, gifts for words, gifts for parenting and grandparenting, gifts for fixing stuff or designing stuff or gifts for technology, all kinds of gifts, gifts of courage for those who struggle for justice, for peace, and who work and advocate for environmental wholeness. As Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, there are varieties of gifts and varieties of service, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. God's Spirit has endowed us all with gifts of the Spirit, so that we might serve God and God's beloved world with our abilities, all of our abilities. God's Spirit is poured out on every single one of us, no matter how old we are, or how young we are, or what our limitations might be. No matter how important we may feel or may not feel, as the ancient prophet Joel says, quoting God, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your old ones will dream, your young ones will see visions. I will pour out my spirit even on the servants, workers of all genders. I told you the story about Mark, which is one of my favorite stories. I forgot to ask his permission today. He'll forgive me. I've done it before. Mark used his gifts of friendship and kindness and acceptance, even at the age of 4, in a way that served God, by giving friendship and acceptance to Yoshi and his family. I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your old ones will dream, and your young ones will see visions. I read a story a few years ago about a cashier in a grocery store. She believed that she had been called to a ministry of friendliness and community building. She did her ministry in the midst of ringing up grocery orders every day. She realized that for many folks, she might be the only person that they would speak to all week. And this was before COVID. Especially in COVID, that could be true, couldn't it? So she tried to build relationships with folks as they went through the line. This was much more than good customer service for her. It was her spiritual gifting. And apparently her line at the grocery store was always longer than everyone else's. Many of you will remember, well, I don't know if many of you will remember. Do any of you remember an old movie from the 80s called Chariots of Fire? Oh, yeah, there's a fair number of folks that are were around then. Well, for those who don't remember or never saw it, it's the story about a couple of runners, and one of them was a Scotsman, Eric Little. And he gave up an Olympic medal opportunity in his chosen event because a qualifying heat for his race was to be run on a Sunday. Eric Little, who was a Christian, refused to run on the Lord's Day. Now, we can quibble about the interpretation of being that strict about the Lord's Day, but that's not the point. There's one particular scene from the movie that has stayed with me ever since I saw it. And it's not the famous scene that of all of those guys racing down a sandy beach with that, what was the name of that guy that did the music, the soundtrack? Vangelis? Vangelis, yeah. So that's not the scene I'm talking about, although that was a good scene. The scene that has stayed with me ever since I saw it in the 80s was when Eric is walking through the fields out in the countryside with his sister. And he was trying to explain to her why he was running, training and running, instead of serving the Lord, doing the missionary work that he had planned to do, the missionary work that he had trained to do, and that he would later return to. What he said was that he knew that God had plans for him. But, he said, he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel God's pleasure. God made us to do certain things. We were designed and gifted with God's purposes in mind. And when we discover what we were made to do, which is more than one thing, by the way, lots of things we were made to do, when we use the talents that God gave us, we feel fulfilled. We feel God's pleasure. In the words of the great American preacher Howard Thurman, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. When you think about those activities that make you come alive, it's beyond pleasure. It's God's pleasure. It's that deep sense of fulfillment and joy. There's no better way to know what God means you to do. And for some of us, we haven't discovered all of those things. Well, many of us, most of us. There are things yet to do, things yet to discover, where our gifts can lead to such deep joy for ourselves and what is needed for others. Another great preacher, Frederick Buechner, famously said, "Your calling is the place where your deep gladness meets the world's deep need." Where our deep gladness meets the world's deep need. God's Spirit is promised not just for loudmouth preachers or choir singers, not only for board members and scripture readers, not only for bakers and knitters and coffee preparers. "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh," says the Lord, upon four-year-old kids who know how to make friends and grocery store cashiers who love the lonely and quietly prayerful introverts and seniors with arthritis in their hands. God has gifted every kind of person in magnificently diverse ways to serve the mission of sharing God's radically inclusive love and caring for this earth and its creatures. Gratitude in action is using our gifts of time and talent for others, and it gives us such joy. It's the best kind of gratitude in action, and it will make us come alive and feel God's pleasure. Amen.